Hey, that sounds like a real arc with some good plating. That's interesting. Thank you, guys. Okay, thank you. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Joshua chapter 5, and we will look at verse 13, 2 to 15, and then we will look at chapter 6, verse 1 to 20. And thank you very much, Monica, for reading very beautifully, and thank you, Creative Art Team and the other volunteers who graciously demonstrated this for us to see how to look like, if anything. Father, I thank you for your living word. Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, speak to your people. Father, speak to us. Father, let your glory, which you share with no man, be at stake right now, and let it be expressed in a powerful way. Father, I wrestle every mind, every imagination to obey Christ. Father, I pray that the name of Jesus Christ will be lifted higher and higher. I will decrease, O God, but you will increase. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name, speak to us. Amen. This is our third Sunday of looking at worship expressions. A lot of people have their view about worship. What they think is worship, what sort of songs need to be sung, what sort of things need to be done, African worship, Caribbean worship, English worship, European worship, American worship. Actually, there's none of those things at all. Worship is worship. And when we appear before God, there will be worship. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
When we appear God, there will be worship. You know why there will be worship? Because there will be great joy. There'll be so much worship because you look back and the pain that you go through here on this earth will be no more. You look back and the loved ones that have departed from your life that grieves your heart and breaks your heart, you're going to see them again. What an amazing time it's going to be. Isn't this going to be an amazing time? And the only person who can bring the lost back, who can bring the dead back, and who can bring the fallen back is Jesus Christ. So you look around and see who did all these things, who stopped all the sicknesses, who stopped all the diseases, who stopped all the pain, who stopped all the death, who stopped Satan and the demons and the powers of darkness, who stopped them. And you see Jesus Christ sitting on his throne and you point and say, Jesus Christ did it. And this is going to give you a cause to celebrate and to bow down your knees and bow your head to the ground and raise up your hand and shout hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. And that is where we're going today. So when it comes to worship, as I've told you a couple of weeks ago, there's no tribe in it. There's no taste of music in it. It is about Jesus. And Pastor Shola told us that Jesus should be the focus of our worship. And that's absolutely true. So today's reading brings us to a point that I have to make a statement. And when you enter God's presence with praise, He enters your circumstances with power. Are you listening? When you enter God's presence with praise, He enters your circumstances with power. So for that reason, we will learn to worship God. Hallelujah. You see, I just want you to know that you guys are involved in it. So shall we say this together? Amen. Say it one more time. Now turn to someone and say exactly the same thing to that person. Amen. So when you enter God's presence with praise, He will enter your circumstances. I don't know your circumstances, but He knows. And God wants to inject some power into your circumstances.
Amen.
You see, you may be on your knees, but God wants to raise you up and inject you with power. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sometimes I feel so low on my knees. And I see that when I raise a song, when I raise a worship to my God, suddenly some power and energy begin to rise in my body. And that is exactly what? When you enter God's presence with praise, He enters your circumstances with power. Worship is not just picking songs to sing, but a revelation of God's presence which should make you want to bow in honor to Him. Which should make you want to bow in adoration to Him. Which should make you want to praise His holy name. Hallelujah. Worship isn't an encounter with Jesus. And when you encounter Jesus in worship, your whole body, your whole soul, and your whole spirit goes weak at the knee in reverence, fear. Your hands begin not to hang around you like a loose mummy, but it begins to move and, I mean, rise up to the skies. Hallelujah. Your hands begin to rise up in surrender and praise to our God. Your body prostrate before a mighty God, and your spirit burst out with a song, hymns, songs, and spiritual song. Hallelujah. You see, do you know that the Premier football, season has started? Has your team won or lost? At least Arsenal won, so that is okay. So Jackie is happy. What we are saying is that there's a bunch of people who worship their idols and football supporters. Do you know that? Their adoration of the people on the field playing football and the people who are paid millions of pounds is a form of worship. Do you see them sat down like mummies in the stadium? Do you see that? They invent their own songs. They sing to energize their players. When a goal is scored, you see the energy that is released. So if you haven't seen worship before, this is worship. Amen. And most of the people that go there, I can assure you, 70% were English people. Do you understand that? So you tell me English people have no feelings? They have emotions. They worship. Once upon a time, they worship God. This time, most of them want to go to the stadium. But thank God for us. We have a God who is the resurrection and the life. We have a God that when we praise and enter His presence with praise, then our circumstances are going to be energized with power. And that's what our God is. True worshipers of God cannot just stand still, but they will express themselves in what is happening inside their souls, inside their spirit, and inside their bodies. That means their minds will engage in it, their emotions will rise up, and of course their will and intellect will just jump to it, and their whole body will just start praising the Lord. Hallelujah. I told you 2 weeks ago that our fathers did us some, wrongdoings. They only showed us contemplative form of worship, where everything is, praise my soul, the King of heaven. Yes? Yes? It's a good form of worship. We don't knock it, my brother. There are times for it. You see, but then today we're going to learn how Jesus Christ taught us when we meet as a community. Yes? Joshua recognized Jesus straight away when he was going to enter Jericho. The walls were fortified. The Bible said the walls were fortified. There were mighty warriors in that place. There were kings in that place. Nobody goes in, nobody comes out. That means they are ready for war. They have strategized to destroy the people of Israel. But you know what? At the sight of the people of Israel, the things that they were doing were so unusual, unorthodox, that the fear gripped the people. Do you understand that? Fear gripped them. And what they did was a form of worship. Maybe nobody has preached that way. I'm sure many people have before me. But as I meditated upon the word of God, I'm thinking, you know what? These people were doing something that we haven't. And that is this. When Joshua met the That man who suddenly drew up his sword in front of him, Joshua asked you, are you for us or for our enemy? He said, I'm neither. No, but I've come as the captain of the armies of God, and your victory is with me. Hallelujah. So Joshua recognized who the captain of his ship was. So worship is recognizing who your captain is, or who is captaining your ship. That person is worthy to take you through difficulties or impossible situations and turn those impossibilities to possibilities. Hallelujah. So worship turns our impossibilities to possibilities because we invite the captain of the host of the army of God in there. So we have met as what? A host of the people of God. Do you understand that? In your gathering, you have met as a host of the people of God, and you need a captain to take you through. Jericho was an impossible obstacle in front of them, but it made possible because the captain came to take over. You have to recognize what ship you are in when you enter God's presence. I was born in by the coast in a town called Windy Bay. And I would sit down and watch the ship move. Massive, massive vessels. And I can tell which one is a cargo ship. I can tell which one is a vessel which is a cruise ship. And I can tell which one is a oil tanker. I could sit still like that, and I'm thinking, why are you staring those things? I never thought one day I would preach like that. But the answer is this. A ship is a massive vessel. And when you are coming before the presence of God, which ship are you? Because worship is about worship, right? So which ship are you? Are you a cruise liner? That means it's full of happy going, partying people. You know how many people come to the Caribbean just to have a party on the ship? If you've got £1,000, please just book a holiday. And you can stop in Middlesex in Jamaica. I didn't say nothing, Father. So here we are. Just jump on the ship and have fun. That's a cruise liner. So which ship are you in? Are you the happy person today? Some come here today because you are happy. Not everybody has a problem every day. You understand that? Some people are really happy. Somebody must have bought a car, bought a house, had a baby, or going to have a baby, or won the lottery, or had promotion, or has been healed from sickness, and therefore the person is happy, got a new job. Why should you be sad when you have all these things? So you have to come before God with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. So what ship are you? You have to recognize what ship you are in when you enter God's presence. And some people will come as a cargo ship. Cargo ship carry burdens. You understand that? They carry heavy things. And some of you may be here today and your heart is heavy. This morning I was just trying to lift myself up and say, God, how can we have three people that are so close to us die in a very short time? And I was struggling with myself. I said, God, you know what? My heart is heavy, but I have to enter his presence. Hallelujah. So you have to, remember which cargo you are. Which ship are you? What burdens are you carrying? It could be burdens of death. It could be burdens of poverty. It could be burdens of somebody messing you up in the job place, or even your own husband or wife messing you up. Please don't leave them yet. It could be burdens of your children. It could be burdens of anything in your life. You could be an oil tanker. Oil tanker is full of some black things. Doesn't mean that black is wrong. It's full of dark things. And these dark things, when it touches your clothes, it just soils it. You understand that? See, some of you are here today, and you've just come from a dark experience where you're struggling with your trespasses, indebtedness, sin, and the things that is soiling you. All these things you have to recognize before you come to the presence of God. But then when you allow the blood of Jesus Christ to wash you clean, you know what? That same oil tanker can be used to generate power, to generate energy, to pilot our cars, our airplanes, and all our vehicles around, to give us light and all sort of things. Do you know that? What is the transformation? The transformation is the refinery. And Jesus is our refinery, my sisters and my brothers. So as we come before him, which refinery are we going to go through? Whichever situation that we are. We want to see Jesus. So we have to come before God with praise and worship. And let's get back to Joshua and see exactly what his issue was. So these issues that we remembered are important things we carry into his presence and need a captain to steer us through them. The name of that captain of the ship is Jesus. Hallelujah. The name is Jesus. That name is a beautiful name. That name is a powerful name. That name is an awesome name. The Bible tells us that at the mention of the name of Jesus Christ, every knee bows down. Hallelujah. That name moves through obstacles. It cuts through the seas. Like a massive ship cutting through the sea. No obstacle can stop it. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how heavy the burden that they carry. It doesn't matter how heavy and how happy the passengers they carry. They still pass through the sea. And the whole purpose is that the ship doesn't stay on the sea forever. One day it will dock somewhere. Whether it's Kingston or Kingstown. You know there are two different towns? One is a big place, one is a small place. So, I just want you to know, it doesn't matter whether it's in Lagos or London, wherever it is that the ship will dock, it will have to dock somewhere. So you want God, worship, to take you somewhere, and that place is docking in the hands of God. Hallelujah. You see, so we praise God so that we can dock in the hands of God. It doesn't matter what ship we are in. It doesn't matter how heavy the cargo. It doesn't matter what expanse of sea that we walk on. We want to dock in the hands of God. Hallelujah. So worship is not just about songs. Not just about making noise. It has something fundamental. And those of you who have been following our daily readings, I hope you are. We are going to the Bible deep. And if you read Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5, you will see how there are 24 elders surrounding the throne of God. And the Bible said, all that they do, at the mention of the name of Jesus, they bow. Because it's a powerful name, it's an awesome name, it's a miraculous name. Any mystery that cannot be unfolded, Jesus unfolded them. He opens it to them. One day, Paul tells in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that we see partly. At the moment, we don't understand even why people die. We don't understand why sicknesses. We don't understand why some people don't get healed. We don't understand some things that come into our lives. But say, on that day, we will understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Because we will stand before God. Now, when you fast forward to Revelation, chapter 7, it tells us, chapter 21, it tells us the same thing. That he will open it all before us. But then Jesus Christ, in front of him, at 24 elders, that bowed the knee and said, worthy, worthy, worthy is the lamb that was slain. Worthy is the lamb that still stands. Worthy is the lamb that stands and makes things right. Worthy is the lamb that can open the mysteries of the world to us. The mysteries of the universe. The Bible said there are some four creatures. They describe them by the power that they and the glory that they have. And these fly around. They fly around the throne of God. And when they fly, they say, amen, amen. Glory, honor, and thanksgiving be unto our God. And people fall down and say, worthy, 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 worthy is your name. Sometimes if somebody says, I can't understand why I should worship, I know you have a problem. That means you are far from God. Because when you encounter God, you can't stand on your feet. John said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Read it for yourself, Revelation chapter 1. That is things to come. Joshua recognized Jesus far away, straight away. and said, "Who are you for us or for our enemies?" And the Bible says, "I'm neither." And he fell on his knees and worshipped him. And he said, "Lord." You see, he could have said God, but he said Lord. You know why? Because there's a difference. The Lord is Jesus Christ. He says, "Lord, what do you want me to do? What message have you got for me?" When you read Acts chapter 9, Paul the apostle said the same thing. "Who are you, Lord? What do you want me to do?" And there they even expanded and said, "I am Jesus, the one that you persecute." Do you understand that? So when we encounter Jesus, we worship him. And when we worship, we are worshiping Jesus. And he will come as our captain. It doesn't matter how difficult it is to steer the ship. Worship brings us and brings Jesus to the fore. That means we put Jesus Christ to the forefront of things. Joshua knew that he had an army of 600,000 fighting men. Hear that, 600 fighting men. That's a lot of battalions. Worship is about revelation of Jesus, whatever the size of your enemy or your own army. It doesn't matter the size of your own army or the size of the enemy. It's a revelation about Jesus. Now let me quickly pick on and say worship is the warrior's sword. You see, when you are worshiping God, you become a warrior. That means you become dangerous to the enemy. You become powerful. There's a tool that God put in your hand. Worship is the warrior's sword. So as you worship God, you become a warrior. And if a warrior has a sword, don't mess about with him or her. Amen. Do you understand that? So when you come to a corporate worship like this and we say worship God, you know you have a warrior sword in your hand when you engage. If you don't engage, you are on your own. You have a warrior sword in your hand. And if you have a warrior sword in your hand, you are going to do exploit. Worship is the sword of Christ in your hand as you bow and sing and praise him. Hallelujah. See, Joshua could have gone and said, "I have my own sword." But I said, no, the guy came with his own sword. And look at him. And when he worshipped him, that sword became Joshua's sword. Do you understand that? Because with that sword, Joshua was able to defeat Jericho. The impossible, that difficult place, that hard place, that heavy ship became nothing. It fell down. Worship is the warrior's sword. We read from verse 13 to 14. It said, "Now when Joshua was by Jericho, he looked up, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversary or enemies?' He said, 'No, neither. Rather, I have come now as the captain of the army of God's people.'" The army of Lord, of the Lord. Worship is setting yourself apart to the Lord as a prerequisite for your victory. Hallelujah. You see, worship is setting yourself apart to the Lord for your victory. So when you worship the Lord, you are actually saying, "Look, I am ready to receive my victory." Hallelujah. Amen. You are ready to defeat your enemies. You are ready to defeat what is bringing you down. You are ready to defeat anything that is holding you back. You are ready to cut through every tape that is in front of you. You are ready to stand tall. You are ready and not to be defeated. You are ready for victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. See, this is serious stuff, right? Yeah. Exactly. That's why I'm not telling you from any book what any worship leader has written or any preacher has said. Let's go to the Bible. That one, we can't get it wrong. Do you understand that? Worship is setting you up for victory. So I tell you what, this week, if you want to see victory come to your life and victory for victory, begin to worship the Lord. That's exactly what Joshua did. He worshiped the Lord. He had a sword in his hand that became the sword of Joshua. And Joshua literally went in the power of that worship that he had And it is something new. You may be thinking I'm heretic. No, I'm not. I'm telling you something true. Let's press on to see what God says. Hallelujah. Because, I mean, I said I was in Sister Fumi's house only about a week ago, and then the mother died. I mean, when I went, I just sensed in my heart that this woman is ready, because I've seen it quite a few, and I just prayed, and I put her in the hands of God, and I just prayed and prayed and prayed. I said, God, please, we release this woman to you. And you know what? When she was just about to take her last breath, all the kids who were around were, or the children, they are not little kids, they are 60s and over. They just surrounded the mother, and they were singing praises to God. And I'm thinking, God, I would like to die like that. You see, where my children, my family will be just singing me praises. And I remember my mom, I went to her house, and a few days before, I was just praying for my mom, and I said, you know what? I need to pray to release her into the hands of God. Junior there. So worship gives us so much hope. So much hope for the future. Amen. My brothers and sisters, it gives us so much hope. And it sets us apart for victory. Victory over death. Victory over circumstances. Victory over any obstacle. It's setting us up that way. So if you don't understand worship, worship is about that. Now, verse 15, which is the last verse of the last chapter, previous chapter. We learn that the captain of the Lord's army said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, because the place where you are standing is holy. Set apart to the Lord. And Joshua did so. And Joshua did so. Remember, Joshua took that lead and responsibility in worship. Anytime that there's a corporate worship, the pastor must lead it. You understand that? Yes or no? Yeah, a few people would know, but it is a scripture. Because last time when we were talking about corporate worship, Moses, who was the worship leader? Moses. Who wrote the songs? Moses. He wrote even a whole book, Deuteronomy. The laws of God, he had to put it in 3 songs for the people. He was the first songwriter in the Bible, well before David was born. Thousands of years before David was born, Moses had written a song, and he had sung a song. And when Miriam and the rest brought in their instrument, they only sang a few verses. They sang choruses. Did you realize that? Exactly. So this actually, I mean, we don't have this problem in this church, but there are times that worship leaders think that they know worship and nobody does. Are you listening? They said they know worship, but nobody does. And sometimes they don't even know worship, but they are skilled musicians. There are a whole lot of skilled musicians out there. And some are even better than those in the church. So worship is not about skilled musicianship. It's good to be skilled musicians, because David was a skilled musician. Asaph was a skilled musician. Jedidah was a skilled musician. Nehemiah's time, they were amazing musicians. A choir of 280 people were in the choir. Bigger than, Brooklyn Tabernacle Church choir. The Bible said 280 were in rotations. They had a rota that they live on. They worship God. And in the heavens, there are myriad, thousands of thousands of people who are worshiping God. So skilled musicianship is important, but that doesn't necessarily make somebody a worship leader. You understand that? You see, so that means that you have to pray for your leaders, whether you're a small group leader or house group leader, whatever kind of leadership that you are. In this church, you have to learn to be a worshiper, so that your people will follow you. You see, if you are not worshiping, your people are not worshiping. If you're not engaging with God, your people are not engaging with God. It's as simple as that. And Joshua took the lead to worship. So when he took the lead to worship, then from there on, chapter 6, you see him standing and God talking to him that now this is what I want you to do. Now I want you to go and tell them that they can. Jericho has been put in your hands and you are going to destroy that. But this is how you're going to do it. You're going to walk around it once every day, carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And having priests blowing the trumpet, They didn't just shout one. Imagine going around Jericho, even assuming Jericho is the size of Lewisham or Greenwich Borough. That would take you probably half a day to walk around it, right? So half a day, they were worshiping around it. And they were playing that music all the time, or sound all the time. Joshua took the lead. So that means that worship begins with the individual. Joshua had to worship Jesus before he went to his people to communicate the heart of God to them in a corporate setting. So worship is bringing the presence of God over your situation. Say amen. See, so when you worship, you are bringing the presence of God over your situation. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and you have so much burden on your heart, you can't even pray, you can't even read your Bible, but it's easy to sing because God has given us that facility. It's easy for you to pick a hymn. It's even easy for you to pick a spiritual song. It's easy for you to pick a song that you know or some verse that you know in the Bible and you've heard about a song to go with it, and it's easy for you to sing because it will lift your spirit up. Do you understand that? God wants us to be worshipers of Him. So worship is bringing the presence of God over your situation. We began by saying earlier on that when you worship, when we enter God's presence with praise, He enters your circumstances with power. Worship should release the priest that is in you. Do you know what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19? You'll be thinking, well, how come everything is from the Old Testament? It's also in the New Testament. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Hallelujah. So God said that you are a priest. So if you are a priest of God, you know what the priest used to do? When they come first and foremost, they are first in the church. They literally offer sacrifices for their sins. They make sure that they are clean. Then they put on their white robes so that they show that they are clean before God. And then they go in the inner chamber. They go there, the holy place, and they go and light the candles. That means they want the Holy Spirit to lead them. They go there and pray and come out. And when they come out, they come and show the people how to worship. That's their role. So for that reason, we have no reason to even be late for any reason before the presence of God, isn't it? So it should be first. We are priests. You are royal, not just a priest, a royal priesthood. Good Lord. I don't understand what is to be a royalty, but if you go by what I see in England, when you are royal, it's kind of a very cozy and nice life, isn't it? And everybody respects you, isn't it? You see, but don't envy them. Their fathers have fought for this nation. I was going to say we fought the Scottish, but they will kill me. You see, so they fought for the nation. They've done so much. They've shared their lives. For you and me to sit here and have it, so don't envy them. Yeah, their descendants are enjoying it, isn't it? That's why every royal, by tradition, goes to the army in this nation. Because you have to learn to fight. If possible, defend your nation. So, worship will have to release the priest in you. The people who were marching around the city of Jericho carried the presence of God. That is the ark with them. If you are reading, it tells you that. Verse 3 goes on to read, as I'm saying, what does it say? March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Make 7 priests carry trumpets of ram horn in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. So what are we saying? When we worship, we bring the presence of God with us. We carry the presence of God, but we carry the ark of God with us. We saw it being carried physically for you to understand what is happening. See, I'm not trying to spiritualize, but I'm trying to tell you reality. It took me years to understand that this passage is actually about worship as opposed to bravery. Because when you go to the seminary, you are taught that it is about bravery. Joshua can be as brave as he wants. He could have had 600,000 people of war behind him, but then who trained them? God trained them. Do you understand that? It was not about bravery. If it was about bravery, how come he saw one person and he bowed down to that person? He wasn't brave enough, was he? Worship is about Jesus. It's about the presence of God with you. So it was Jesus himself who said, now, I want you to carry the presence of God with you to go around the walls. Carry the presence of God with you. So when you are worshiping, you are carrying the presence of God with you to go around your obstacles, to go around your problems, to go around your pain, to go around everything that stands in your way. You are worshiping God to go around. And if you are encircling them, that means you've got their number. Do you understand that? That means you've got their number. In this community, we see sound is introduced by the direction of Jesus himself, the Lord himself, to go before the ark, the priest, thus brings sound to the worship. Hallelujah. So who are the priests I said earlier on? Us, isn't it? You are the royal priest, so you have to bring sound. So you cannot worship God with your mouth shut when it comes to corporate worship. Are you getting it? When Moses was worshiping, it was just him alone. He didn't even say a word. He just bowed a knee after a little conversation with him. So after a little prayer, he bowed a knee to show him respect and honor and glory. But then from there, he had to go to the community. Now, this time, it's a corporate setting. So in the corporate setting, what did he do? He said, now I want you to introduce the presence of God there. And not only that, but I want you to introduce sound and let the priest introduce the sound. So, that is why, for me, it's non-negotiable to be in a church without music. It's not a thing that Christians do, but it's a godly thing. Because we have to encircle our enemies with praise. We have to encircle our enemies with glory. Because we are lifting our God higher and higher and say, you are small, our God is bigger. You are nothing, our God is everything. In that way, we focus on God more than we focus on the issues. I haven't seen anybody who's praising God and focusing on his problems. Seriously, your problems just disappear. Because God takes care of it. As you live Jesus, he does that. Let's bring the football analogy again. As they praise their team, they win the game. I knew Arsenal won because when I was ironing my clothes this morning, I was watching it. Only through the skin of their teeth. But whatever it is, I just want you to understand that worship will literally release our God into the situation, and it's got to be done by the priest. And sound is in there, and we cannot be in a church, in a corporate setting, without sound. Yes? So don't accept it when anybody says that have a cappella in a corporate worship. It is ungodly. Yes? Listen to me. I understand the Bible quite well. I'm not a theologian. There are people who understand it even better than me. But I'm telling you some truth here. You read it for yourself. As I always said, read about it, read all about it, isn't it? In this community, we see sound being introduced. Who did it? Jesus Christ did it. Before the ark. The priest does bring sound to the worship. What does this tell us? Let's go through this quickly before I'm showing the time. The sound of music communicates a clear message. The sound of music communicates a clear message. Think about the tool that was used. It says, in some translations, trumpet. In some translations, the horn. Right? So literally the same thing. Trumpet. Because trumpet is the musical instrument that gives the clearest sound than any other sound. And the clear sound is that horns were speaking affirmation of God's word. God chose that because horn speaks or music speaks. I've been in some parts of the world that I've seen people speak to their chiefs, and I'm thinking, but can't the chief hear it? I mean, hear any particular language? They use horns. And as they blow the horns, the chief understands. So if you have not been trained, you're out of the equation. And this is true. This is real. I've seen that before. And if you don't believe that too, let me bring you to some realities. History tells us this. That when there was slavery in America, do you understand that the white people did not allow the black people to use drums? You know why? Because drums speaks. And listen, I saw it for myself in some part of the world that they actually beat the drums to communicate with the people. So as we beat drums in our worship, we are communicating something to our God. And you see, so when those people were using the trumpet, they were communicating messages to God, and those people were also able to understand that your number is your name is numbered, or your numbers has come up, and it is only a matter of days, and you are done. That's why the fear came to them. Don't speak for 6 days. So for 6 days, each time they go around, they say, look, now you cannot. This is not about, how do I put it? They chose that instrument so that every language can hear it. Because when you play music, whether you are in Australia, in Britain, in Africa, in the Caribbean, in America, or in Latin America, everybody knows that song in their own tongue. Just like Acts chapter 2. So God actually specified music in our corporate worship. My brothers and sisters, get this. I'm so passionate about it because there's something that is in me that is rebelling against no music in corporate worship. There's something about it that's rebelling against it. I don't like it because it's ungodly. And I want you, worship team, to get this in there and in your heart, that this is the heart of God. Nothing more than that. Anything other than that is ungodly. The people in Jericho heard it. They were so scared because the message is saying, Jesus Christ is going to take over your city. Your city is going to come down. Tomorrow, you watch us come back again. You watch us come back again. And on the seventh day, you see what happened to you. And they have nowhere to go because the people were circling around their city with praise and worship. With praise and worship. Praise and worship. So when you do that in your own situation, you are saying the same thing. Because there are some problems that has actually dug you for years. And you're sitting there thinking, why don't you lift the name of Jesus Christ and circle that problem and say, now your number is up. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Your number is up. The sound of boots of 600,000 men, the priests and Joshua marching around the city was also speaking fear into the fortified city and Jericho and its people. The marchers' action were a form of praying and worshiping because you know what? They were not saying anything for 6 days apart from the sound, isn't it? What a boring thing it would be to walk around the city for 6 days doing nothing. You know what? They were focused on one thing, the destruction of the enemy. And therefore, they were focused on one thing, the word of God that has come to them. They were focused on one thing, saying, God, you know what? Do not let your word fall to the ground. They were praying. They were meditating. They were doing everything that is possible to see God come down. So that means there was no time for chatter. That's why he said, don't speak for 6 days. The sound of the horns, the trumpets, and the shouts, which is the voices, were making music to fill the atmosphere with praise, which emboldened the marchers and the people of God to go forward. That's what it did. Because I remember when Moses died, and the people of Israel were in a mess because they've seen Moses as their leader for 40 years, and suddenly he's dead. They don't even know what to do anymore. And Moses said, before he died, he said, I've asked Joshua. But then Joshua has not led them all this while. He was his assistant. So they said, so now which tribe need to go first? Which tribe need to go first? You know what he answered? He said, let Judah go first. And Judah means praise. So in the time that you are distressed, in the time that all hope seems to have gone, in the time that your loved ones have left your life, the time that everything, maybe your husband left you, or you've left your husband, or whichever way it is, or something disastrous happened to you, maybe the last thing you want to hear is that praise God, but actually it's the first thing that you need to do. If you can praise God. Remember the hymns, some of the hymns wrote, that as peace like a river attend my soul, it is well with my soul. And this is somebody who's lost his wife, lost everybody. Just him left. And he says it is well with his soul. You think he was going crazy? He knew the only thing that could actually encourage him and lift himself up. It's just praising his God because God will make a way for him. And God did. And God did. Let me pick one more session, because these things will continue at some point. So the next 2 weeks we have to continue, so I will not rush it to finish. So what are we saying? Worship is a corporate release of spiritual energy. Worship is a corporate release of spiritual energy. Worship is the corporate release of spiritual energy. And today I'm asking you, what is God releasing in your life? We all have our understanding of how to worship, as I said earlier on. We see here that Joshua offered leadership and guidance in a corporate worship. Yes, we've said that. We see the presence of God among the people in verse 6. Yes, we said that. But in verse 7, we see spiritual energy being released by the marchers. As they march, they got stronger and stronger and stronger. Because if you read it, you hear that the following morning, they woke up even earlier than they did before. They were keen to go. I mean, you went to do nothing just to march around Lewisham or Greenwich Borough, and the next morning, you are keen to go. You know why? Because they couldn't wait to see God's victory come through. They couldn't wait to go and do worship again the way they did it before. And you read in verse 8 that, and it was so, that when they blew the trumpet, then the ark came behind them. It was so. It was so that when Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets made of ram's horn went on before the Lord and blew the trumpets. Then the ark of the covenant of the Lord went behind them. There was a continuation in the noise that they were making. Did you realize that? Sometimes some of you complain, oh, your worship is too long. There was a continuation of what they did. They said they continued to blow and blow and blow and blow. I'm not saying there's endless time to worship. We've got to have some end somewhere, right? Because people need to go home. They have real life. They have real food to eat. The only time that is endless is when they were before the throne room of God. We don't hear there's end to it. So God was showing them something, that there's a continuity. Let music flow. I'm not talking about Lionel Richie. Let music flow. Let the music take control, my brothers and sisters. Sometimes allow that. You are not important enough. It's about God. And when God is lifted, then your blessings come. It's not about you. So if you look at you and you complain about your taste of music, your liking of music, your sound of music, you are trying to restrict God. You understand that? I'm not giving you a blank check to misbehave. Because sometimes our music is too long. I mean, too long or too loud in this church. Sometimes you can hardly hear it. So, what am I saying? There was continuation of worship. They continued and continued and continued. The Bible said in verse 13, verse 9, verse 16, verse 13, and they continued, and the priest continued to blow the trumpet. It was evident that there was days and times that there were no voices. So sometimes when we are worshiping, we have to stop and let there be silence. Yeah, does this sound okay to you? The worship is flowing, but then it becomes so powerful that you have to stop and just hear the voice of God. Silent. Exactly. Because sometimes our worship is just that way. We've got to have diversity of scripture in it. And the verse I want to bring to your mind before I sit down is, let live music be heard in your church. Say amen to that.
Amen.
I'm glad for the music that we have today, but I can assure you that if it was being played live, a whole lot of people would be slain in their spirit. That's absolutely true. And we have to earnestly desire to worship God's way. Do you understand that? This is a makeshift worship. Thank God for that. But we want to have the freedom to worship. We want to get our drums being beaten. We have to have our keyboard being beaten and all our instruments there. We have to have the choir up here. And a certain event that when it's happening, it's a non-negotiable thing for me that we have to have a live music. Because that's the Bible way. It's not a Caribbean way. It's not an African way. It's not an English way. It's not Gideon Nash's way. It is the Bible way. The Lord specified that. And the Lord told them to shout. Did you hear that? He said shout? Yes. You mean shout? Yes. 600,000 people shouting. Yes. No. He didn't say that. There was no sound monitors. The only sound monitor was the people of Jericho. And when they shouted, the walls came down. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want us to listen to this music that is going to be played. And I want you to watch the video. Guys, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So I want them to play the music. And what I want you to imagine is that the people were marching around the walls of Jericho and this music was playing. And the words that was there. Let me just read a little bit to you and then I will step aside for it to finish. This song is by Hillsong and the title is What a Beautiful Name. So he said, you are the Word at the beginning. You are one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this name. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You did not want heaven without us in it. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sins was great. Your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, your name is above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you are. What a powerful name. Amen.